Let's talk to a guy who knows this national team rather well, former participant in the national program, Carl English, former Canadian men's basketball team member, GM and player for the St. John's Edge of the National Basketball League Canada, co-writer of Chasing a Dream, the Carl English story he co-wrote with our pal Blake Murphy. Carl's on the line right now. Carl, thanks for doing this.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
How was spending all that time with Blake Murphy? Did you guys force some wrestling talk in, like every once in a while? Like there was a little lull in the conversation. He's like, you watch Raw?
He loves his wrestling, just like a lot of Newfoundlanders. So, yeah, we had a great time.
How cathartic was writing that book for you?
I put this book off for a long time. I was the first approach for this book, freshman in Hawaii when we made the tournament. And, you know, each year when that happens, they dig into each team. And when they found out my story, they sent a crew down here, CBC National sent a crew. And then once they got to realize where I came from and the story got out, I was kind of approached from then on. And I kind of put it off because I knew there was a lot of demons there that I'd have to come to face. And I just felt now was the time when I came back home and saw the reaction and the work I was doing in the community and how it was affecting people. I said, why not? Let's do it. But it was a very painful process.
So it was painful, but once you were through it and once you got to read your words on the paper and you and Blake had finished the project, did you feel a sense of relief that you had done it?
Yeah, I think once I read it and it came to light, because you never know how it's going to turn out. It's kind of like an athlete. I think every athlete is probably their biggest fear of failure, you know, and that's kind of what motivates you as well. And I think this was similar to a story like that. And once I read it and I was like, wow, this is told really well. And I hope people understand the message I'm trying to get out there. But then it's my story because people know parts of it. People only know, tragedy, and they don't understand and getting cut and not making the NBA. But there's so much more to it. There's the process and getting to Ontario from a town of 30 people. There's the hardships of overcoming and obviously dealing with a tragedy. But then how did that affect me through the years? Because it just don't go away. It kind of leaves you and it haunts you. And then my uncle died when I was 20, when I returned home from Hawaii. I mean, he dropped dead when we were fishing. So there's these type of things that, you know, people don't really know about me. And then, you know, the European circuit and close to getting back to the NBA and then the injuries and then all the Canada basketball stuff. So there's a lot to be in there. And it's a story about motivation. I mean, determination, perseverance, to say the least, and, you know, dealing with hardship.
No, it's an incredible, incredible story. And you've been through so much. If it was just a basketball story, too, it would be incredible. A guy from where you grew up making it to the heights that you've made in basketball. Now, professional basketball is like a dream that seems more realistic to kids in this country now, Carl. Could 20-year-old Carl, 18 years ago, 20 years ago, have thought, you know, man, in 20 years, there's going to be 20 Canadians in the NBA. What if I had told you that 20 years ago?
Not a chance. It was just things have changed so much, man. It's like, I feel now the pipeline is there. I'm not sure who can pinpoint. I think there was a lot of collective people that had their fingerprints on all of it over the years. But now to say there's 20 guys in the NBA, I think second to the Americans, is a fabulous story. I mean, when I was there, it was just Jamal and Steve, obviously, and I was the next up and coming, and it just went on through generations. But it was it's crazy, man. The amount of talent that's there now is unfathomable.
Yeah. What would you say is the biggest reason for that? Like, I don't mean in terms of Vince Carter or Steve Nash or different players and the visibility of the sport or even with the Raptors. I just mean, how has it changed for you from the challenges of when you were playing and the pipeline and the development system to what we have now?
Well, I think first and foremost is we're in this era of social media and, I mean, obviously the internet. I posted a thing a few months ago when I was digging up for the book, and I came across this box, and inside of it was all the addresses that I had. So when I went to Ontario, the teachers went on strike. So I went to St. Thomas Aquinas because Andre Sola went there and he went to George Washington. So I just picked one school in Toronto and I went there because I was chasing a dream, trying to get a scholarship. And when I got there, the teachers went on strike. So my way of trying to get them to notice me, I went and made a highlight tape in the gym, and I put a game that I played back home in Fatima in grade 11, and I sent it to 120, 150 schools. I made all these tapes in the video room, went to Staples and bought boxes of VHSs, and I sent it all out. Well, first and foremost, kids are not doing that today. I think kids are getting ranked when they're 12 and 13. You know, it's crazy the path that I had to take and fellow other Canadians to what they have to do now. It's just, it's so easier to find talent right now. And I think that's no longer is it the difference between the age and the diversity of the distance. You know, the world has become so much smaller because of social media and the internet.
Yeah, I'll forgive you for going to St. Thomas. I went to Oakville Trafalgar High School, so we were rivals.
Well, if I had to have sense, I would have crossed the road and went to Trafalgar, because then I would have got recruited because you were a public school.
That's right. It's true. You know, it worked out all right. You went to Hawaii, which was a good call. The kid from Newfoundland going to Hawaii, that was probably an easy decision, I imagine.
Well, it was beautiful there. I joke about it. Hawaii is very similar to Newfoundland minus the weather. I mean, very, very rugged coastlines in Newfoundland. It's a beautiful island, beautiful people. It's just our weather in Newfoundland is so much better than Hawaii.
All right. So the book is, yeah. I would have never actually followed you down that line, but you made a lot of sense there. We're talking to Carl English. The book is Chasing a Dream, the Carl English story, and the book can be purchased in chapters. It's available on Amazon, and it's being sold at local bookstores in Newfoundland. The foreword authored by Steve Nash, and some incredible players in this book told stories about. What's your favorite story from the book?
There's so many. There's a lot of good national team stuff. You know, when we struggled for years to qualify for anything. So once we qualified in Dominican, we stayed at a different resort, but we went back to this first one where we were training, and we went to the middle of nowhere, and we're all thinking like, where the hell are we going? You know? And sure enough, it was at the first hotel we stayed in, and Coach Routens was there, and he was like, you know, this is where it all started for us. And we all just took off celebrating. We ran out into the ocean. Half of us had clothes on, half of us didn't, but that was a good one. But I think what touched me the most is, I was really happy what Steve wrote. Then I have a bunch of testimonials. So in the back of the book, there's testimonials by players all around the world, different teammates from the national team to in Europe to NBA coaches to national team coaches with Coach Triano. And, you know, Phil Hanley is in there, and it goes right down to Kyle Wilshire, Melvin Ejim, Jesse Young, Leo Routens is in there. You know, there's a lot of testimonials. Basically, I just reached out to some of my friends and said, guys, what's the first thing when you think of my name comes up? And then they gave a few comments in there, and, you know, to see what other people think of me, and hopefully they're not lying. it's nice. And, you know, there's parts of the book there that it took me way back, man. Like I said, me and Blake sat down for over 50 hours when he came to Newfoundland and just recorded. And then we went back and forth for hours upon hours to tweaking it. And once you put it all there and you put it all out there, you know, it's really, really special. And then like the positive feedback that I'm getting on it now is tremendous. And when someone sent me a link, you go on, I don't know if it still is, but on Amazon it was the number one bestseller right now for sports autobiographies and things. And I mean, that's amazing. So hopefully my story can help people that are struggling with a similar type of tragedy or any type of diversity or adversity in their life. And you know, there's so much, it's a different life we live in now than when I did. And, you know, for people to see the path that I've taken and not giving up, I think that's a story in itself.
Well, I think that was a big thing for a lot of just Canadian basketball players that were starting out, even athletes in other sports, was being able to identify and see people who had, you know, taken those difficult paths and to be at least able to understand that, you know, it is possible. And I don't think that there's anything that's more motivating than that. And it wouldn't really, I think that you wouldn't have asked those people to write those testimonials for you if, you know, you didn't feel comfortable that about, yeah, who you were and, you know, some tenor of what was going to come back. So, yeah, man, it's an incredible accomplishment. We definitely congratulate you on it. And, you know, you mentioned qualifying. And, yeah, the international program was under a lot of heat. Like, last time we talked to you, it was under completely different premises as it was everybody had pulled out. And everybody was pulling out essentially at the last minute. And now you have guys coming forward saying they're going to be there regardless. And What do you think has happened here? Like, is this just a lot of it being in Canada, it being in the backyard, that it's a little bit more convenient? Or do you think that the pressure or the discussion around the program from this past year has really changed some guys or opened guys' eyes up to wanting to be a part of this or the need to be a part of this?
I had the same discussion on The Athletic, and I'll be brutally honest with it, because I told you guys last time we spoke, you know, and I would tell you more insight, and there's more insight in the book. It's not an easy decision. You know, it's a decision that factors in so many different things. So let me be perfectly clear when I say everybody, unless coming up through had a bad experience, everybody, including poor Wiggins that gets crucified, everybody wants to play for their country, right? They all want to play. Don't get it twisted. But then you got to think about all then you weigh out the positives and negatives. The big one that comes into play is obviously the insurance, injury, and, you know, some guy, let's take it, and everybody's different. If you're a superstar, I would even go as far as saying you might have a better chance of getting to superstars because they're taken care of. They're covered by their team. They should be covered by NBA insurance. It's the guys that are fighting to get into rotation. If they get injured, well, it's a major setback. They could lose their contract or they could get cut from the team. Or the guys that are on these two-way contracts. Or the guys that are fighting, you know, they're trying to crack into the starting lineup and they're right there. Because if you go out, let's look at Kelly this summer. So Kelly's finally getting back into the rhythm. When I saw Kelly this summer, he was en route to going to having the career or having the season that he's having right now. But that's been delayed 2 to 3 months because he got hurt this summer. So you can say it and you can face it and you can call it what you want, but there's a lot of pressure. And then we have to look on it. We all want them to play for our own selfish reasons because we all truly believe that they will achieve a medal if every one of these guys commit to Team Canada. Am I fair in saying that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
In fact, yeah
everybody knows
that.
We'd be a favorite, right? We're up there with America, and depending on how to play, the tournament goes. But as the tournament goes on, the team starts gelling, understanding the FIBA rules. I've been through it for 15 years. You know, towards the end of the tournament, you're playing your best basketball. So we can all agree that Canada, if everybody showed up, they're in favor to win a medal. The issue being is we all get offended or we all get upset when they don't come out and we don't understand that they're their own personal reasons. And each person has a different thing. Like Tristan this summer, if Tristan's contract is not figured out, how can you expect that man to come play? You know, and it could be a contract negotiation. It could be, let's say Denver goes deep into the playoffs. Jamal wants to play. He publicly announced it. Jamal's a great guy. Of course he wants to play for Team Canada. But let's say Jamal goes into June 17th or June, you know what I mean, and they make a deep run. Do you think Denver Nuggets are going to want him to play?
No.
Right, so there's all the things that each situation is going to be different. You know, each situation, you have to look at each one of them different, and then it becomes the insurance like I touched on before. I got hurt with Team Canada in 2012 and didn't have my insurance covered and I lost millions of dollars. But, you know, is that a story? Yes, it should be. Like, these are the things that people don't know. You know what I mean? So there's stuff that's out there that, you know, that everybody tries to hide because it's politically correct and there's this and that. But I think we have to look at each story individually and let's hope that we can put the best 12 Canadians on the floor, because if we do, we are a powerhouse. Yeah. And we're all selfish in wanting that, which is acceptable.
Yeah, I think what it comes down to is that there's never going to be a perfect situation. And whoever signs up to play for Canada in whatever event it is they're making sacrifices, right? Like, that's part of it.
100%. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, it's not going to be easy.
But I think this year, with having it in Toronto or in Victoria, I think it's huge. Mm-hmm. You know, that's another thing I think NBA teams worry about. Well, what country is it in if a guy goes down? I think a lot of people was a wake-up call for Paul George, but luckily that happened on American soil, correct? Like, what happens if that's in, you know, in one of these crazy countries where you don't have the best doctors in the world? So there's some of this stuff there that we all have to look at and understand that this might be the perfect storm that everybody's waiting for, and they all might come out, and then we're like, okay, now come mess with us. That's what we're all hoping for.
Yeah, that is the hope. Right. And yeah, everybody shows out. I mean, they even with Giannis in the same group, they should be able to pull through and end up in the Olympics.
Well, it's just Giannis. If you guys follow that international media, and I played in Greece, so you guys don't understand passion. when you go play in passion and or you go play in Greece. There's stories in my book when, you know, you're getting attacked, right? Like, I've had flares thrown at our team. You know, I've had people throwing, like, I was on the road. I'll tell you just one story, and then I'll tell you about what I'm getting at. But I was on the one story. So in Greece, home fan, our road fans are not allowed to travel. They're not allowed in. So our fans stormed the gym. The police attacked them. They attacked them back, and they kept on coming in. There was 400 of them attacked the gym, came on in. So then they come with riot gear, throw the tear gas. We exited the game, went outside the doors, waited for the tear gas to leave, then we went back in, played the game. So in that game, I start talking noise like I normally do, getting going, getting hype, had 30-something, and I start doing the shush to the crowd. One guy peed in a bottle and threw it at me. I dodged nice. It. Yeah. All the security ran out onto the court, covered me, and like, English, no talk today. And it was crazy. So if you understand the passion that the Greece Federation has, well, they publicly came out and said that if Patino was coaching the national team, the rivalry team's players, which is three or four of them, are not going to play. Yeah. So if that happens, they will stick, because for this reason, they want the other team won't honor their contracts when they come back, because that's how much the rivalry is there. So unless Patino is canned, which I'm not sure he'll do, well, you might have a depleted team that shows up for Greece.
Yeah, if you played international ball and you didn't have a pee bottle thrown at you,
yeah, did
were
you ever
even good?
Yeah,
were no. you even good? Like, no. No. That's like should be the test. It's like, that's your other stat.
It's like, how many pee bottles were thrown at
you? Like,
what's your ratio?
Yeah. How many pee bottles?
What are the advanced stats on your pee bottles? Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. That's what you have to keep track in the back. I didn't do that. In the back of the book where I had index, I should have had a pee bottle.
Yeah, you should have. Yeah, next time.
Carl, I can't wait to read the book. Congrats on the early success and the release, and thanks for doing this. This was great.
Awesome, guys. Thanks for having me. Let me know what you guys think when you read it, and I'm back up in Toronto. I think I'm going to do a tour there, some local media, so if I'm around, if you guys want to chat, I'll be around.
Absolutely, man. We'd love to have you in studio.
All right, guys.
Talk to you, Carl.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.